Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 583 of the Drunk Dashers podcast. I'm host, as always, I'm Tyler, and joining me, we have the man, the myth, the legend himself, Sir Colonel Gables. What's up, buddy?
Not gonna lie, man, I've been feeling half and half this past week. Earlier on this week, I got the news in regards to the whole entirety of, like, the owners meeting in the Major League Baseball, all voting unanimously for the approval of the Oakland A's to move to Las Vegas. Obviously, I've kept my tabs on it for the entire, not only just for the entire Major League Baseball season, but also over the past 12, 20, 30 some odd years or something like that, because of all the rigmarole that freaking ball club has had, not just with the city of Oakland, but also with their owner John Fisher and all this other stuff. And do not listen to what everyone else is saying in regards to it's Oakland's fault for all this shit that's happening. No. I mean, granted, there's some responsibility that Oakland does take in regards of some of this events, but it's all on that money grubber, on that fucking dude, John Fisher, and the way that he's neglected his franchise, the Oakland people, and also that franchise, the Athletics and stuff, for the past 20 years. Never spent money on free agency, like for free agent players, never improved anything in that Oakland Coliseum, man. It's just a freaking terrible thing to happen to that fan base.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
Absolutely.
And on top of that, you lose the Warriors. They're in San Francisco, but now they're in San Francisco instead of Oakland.
Well, at least at the same point with that perspective, you know, it's like, they moved out of Oakland. They're right across the bay in San Francisco. It's not like they crossed over to, say, Vegas.
No, the Raiders, Oakland lost the Raiders, but it's like, now the Warriors are charging like San Francisco prices instead of Oakland prices for their games. So
yeah, and you want to know what's the biggest pain in the ass and stuff? When Mark Davis, the owner of like the Raiders, was interviewed and stuff in regards to when he first learned about the A's going through trying to move to Vegas and stuff like that, he was initially pissed off because he wanted to stay in Oakland initially, but as opposed to what ended up going and stuff, they ended up going and moving grounds to Vegas and stuff, this long whirlwind stuff, but... But yeah, that's another time, another type of crazy stuff to be talked about later. But at the same time, man, it's like, yeah, that started at the beginning of the week. The last portion of this week was a lot better as opposed to like earlier on and stuff, because my workplace gave out our bonuses early this year. And so absolutely, that is fantastic. But I will say, one thing I wish I could have done more of is play more video games. I hardly played anything this past week. Once I got back from my vacation, started working, tried to get everything else all going. My freaking boss gave me a scare this morning because she freaking came to work early, like around 15 minutes before I did and stuff, and I'm supposed to be opening and stuff. And so obviously, the reaction I felt and stuff when I go into the back of the thing, there's like the door is open. The freaking, like, lights are on. I'm, like, thinking, oh, God, did someone break into my workplace? I'm like, no. So I call my boss. It's like, no, I'm inside. Like, you didn't give me a heads up.
Yeah. Like, what am I? And then you're like, well, you're here. Wait, am I getting fired now? Like, what the fuck's going on?
No, she's not going to do that. But at the same time, though, it's like, yeah, it was just the funny rigmarole stuff and stuff. So, obviously, after each work day and stuff, I've just been crashing early, dude. I mean, I barely played maybe like a half hour to like an hour or something, and I just conk out, dude. I have to fall asleep.
No, but understandable.
Man, other than those crazy ups and downs this past week, I'm just glad to have some days off.
Yeah.
But enough about me. How have you been, my friend?
I'm all right, man. You know, clanging and banging. It's been more downs than ups this week, but it's been all right. You know, not too much, not too crazy going on me. It's just another week, you know, just being busy and a lot of shit going on and not getting, too much shit going on, not getting shit done I want to get done. And now I got to try to get all that shit done tomorrow. So that's the way it's going to go sometimes. But, nice thing with Gables, we did get some cool stuff this week. And we'll talk about that right after I tell you about this is the Drunk Dashers podcast. Every week, Gables and I get together and talk about video games. If you like all this, like our show, like what we've been doing, whether it's your first time listening or your 583rd time listening, please, like, follow, subscribe, follow us. We're on Twitter, Facebook, we're on Twitch, YouTube, whatever podcast apps we're on those places. Please like, follow, subscribe, 5-star reviews, leave comments, share, tell your friends. Share is probably the most important thing you can do for us. We are just two guys that have full-time jobs. We don't make money on this. We pay money to do this.
We love doing this.
And we just love doing this. We love video games, love talking about video games. And yeah, we just get together. I have a couple beers and we talk about some video games. So that's what we're doing here. So without further ado, though, Gables, some of the cool stuff we did get this week is in the world of gaming. And that is, Gables, we did get the Video Game Awards nominees. Finally got those. We talked about last week, Gables. We predicted, we did our final predictions last Sunday.
Yeah.
Before the nominees, if you want to go back, listen to that. We talked about the beginning of the episode last week. But about a month ago, we predicted our six. That was right before Alan Wake 2 came out, before the reviews and everything. And we had predicted for the six that we came together on, we said Super Mario Wonder, Spider-Man 2, Tears of the Kingdom, Baldur's Gate 3, Resident Evil 4, and Armored Core 6. Those were the six that we predicted. And then last week we did our last minute, like, do you have a change of heart? And it came down, you Gables, you said you thought Alan Wake 2 would be added, but you took Mario Wonder out. So you had four of the six correct.
Yes.
My prediction was, I did not think, I thought it would come down. I thought Alan Wake 2 would get in, but I thought it would either be Armored Core 6 or Resident Evil 4 that would come out. I said RE4 because I thought we have two games in the same genre. One's going to knock each other out. And I picked Alan Wake 2 and took Resident Evil 4 out. I got 5 out of 6. Turns out Alan Wake 2 didn't make it, but RE4 actually took the Armored Core spot there. So came pretty close on that one, Gables. Which is pretty crazy because it's been a pretty, you know, we've talked about how this has been a pretty stacked year for gaming. And
absolutely.
The fact that we got this amount correct is pretty nuts. But next week we're going to do a full, like, prediction podcast. We're going to go one by one, not through all the categories. Or, like, we're not going to go through, like, all the esports stuff. Like, that's not for us. But or, like, some, like, the AR, VR stuff. Like, that's not for us. We're going to go through the majority. We're going to go through the most of the key ones that I think that most people are going to care about. So. But I thought this week we can kind of just talk about overall thoughts and feelings on some of these nominees. So, Gables, we're going to start off with the big one here. We're going to start off with, say predictions for next week, obviously.
Yeah.
But game of the year, like I already said, Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Marvel Spider-Man 2, Resident Evil 4, Super Mario Wonder, and Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. Anything feel off to you on that list?
Honestly, no. Nothing really feels off about that list. Even though people have had arguments in regards to Resident Evil 4 remake not belonging on
I
do not agree with that because that remake, hell, I've had a chance to play a good portion, of that stuff. That oozes every bit of quality and comes across in some aspects better than the original game. And that is a hard achievement to go forth and accomplish in that regards. That's the main goal of a remaster. You want to not only retain what has previously worked for the original version, though, without deviating too much that would piss off a bunch of people, but at the same time, you add enough to where it feels like a new experience, and that's why many critics and also many people played through Resident Evil 4 Remake and consider it one of their games of the year, if not their game of the year. And quite honestly, I don't have any problems with it. I mean, I don't care if there's, like, there's no Xbox games in it or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, this is not about freaking consoles and PCs and stuff like that. This is about the qualities of every single games in general. And quite honestly, Starfield, for as good as for what how good that is and stuff, and how things are back and forth with a lot of people online or this or that and stuff, I don't even remotely think this belongs inside of a Game of the Year contention. Not just because of ratings and stuff, not just because of this, it's because for as much as hype as that game went through and was talked about and stuff, it did not live up to that level. There was no possible way it could have lived up to the level in regards to how much, like, hype that was brought around it for this year.
Yeah.
I mean, the game is good. I mean, I have played some of, like, Starfield and stuff, but yet, at the same point, I don't feel like it's a step above, say, Resident Evil 4 Remake, or Tears of the Kingdom, or Super Mario Wonder. Those are the three games I've actually played from that entire Game of the Year's list. I know you've played at least a couple of the others.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, it's like I'm perfectly content with that Game of the Year category for those game selections.
I've beaten five of these games on the six. Baldur's Gate 3 I have not played, but it's like, man, like, that's a game, like, every time I see stuff about it, I'm like, that game looks like a ton of fun, but it's like, also, like, I hear about how big that game is, how long that game is, I'm just like, it's just not gonna happen for me. I love to play the game, but it's not realistic for me to be able to play that game. Like, when there's so many other games to play, I can't. Like, that game,
you have,
like,
to have, like, dude, you have to have some sort of a hankering. You gotta have some form of, like, some heavy interest in wanting to try to delve into, like, a 100+ hour RPG just in general. But for something like Baldur's Gate 3, especially if you've never played any of the games in that franchise, is going to be even more kind of like a daunting sort of task to start. But it'll just take maybe one or two different things, and all of a sudden you're just going to dive head first into it.
Yeah. Well, just like the other five games here, I could probably beat in the time it would take to beat Baldur's Gate 3. But yeah, I don't have, like, was there personal things I would change? Yeah, of course. I try to every year, like, there's definitely, we'll get into some of these. I have some head scratching nominees we'll talk about later. But I try not to get too bothered by these anymore. Like 10 years ago, I'm like, what the fuck, really? But my thing is, it's like when you listen to, like, I don't know, like, if people out there, like, they listen to, like, First Take on ESPN, or they listen to, like, just hot take people, and it's like when, like, you know, somebody, when they have the finalist for, like, MVP, or they do, like, All American or All Pro and shit, and it's like, or the Pro Bowl for the NFL, or the All Star game for the NBA, and it's like, oh, this person deserves to be in the top, top five players in their position. And it's like, or, like, top five, this person deserves to be into the Pro Bowl or whatever. And it's like, all right, cool, man. Like, it's easy to say that, but it's like, all right, who would you take out? And, like, you never hear that argument. It's like, oh yeah, this person is it's a disgrace. This person's not on the top five or whatever. And it's like, but they never say who they would take out. And it's like, you look at this list, like, honestly, who would you take out? And, like, people will say, well, I didn't play this game, so I take them. Like, take that away. If you just look at it objectively, how can you argue the list? This is a phenomenal list. And, like, even if you swapped a couple other games out in here, it's hard to argue. This game, it's been one of the best years in gaming of all time for video games. I wish Final Fantasy 16 made this list only for the orchestra, because I want to hear Final Fantasy 16 in the orchestra. Like, they do the Game of the Year nominee orchestra right at the end of the show. I want that. Like, that was the only reason. Like, I knew it wouldn't be nominated. Like, I talked about it. It's just like Starfield and Final Fantasy 16 in the same bucket, where it's like, I love Final Fantasy 16. It is high on my list for Game of the Year this year. But I know that game is pretty decisive amongst fans of Final Fantasy 16 and newcomers. Like, I'm not a hardcore Final Fantasy guy, so, like, jumping in, I love that game. I know people that are, like, love Final Fantasy, didn't love that game. Starfield, same thing. I know people in our friend group, like, the people that, like, spend hundreds of hours and replay the Bethesda games for decades. Like, we have friends that still to this day just play Fallout 3 over and over again.
Oh yeah,
and
that New Vegas, Skyrim,
New
yeah,
Vegas, yeah, Skyrim, yeah. Like, and they'll just do 100-hour playthroughs over and over again, and, like, they just didn't like Starfield. And it's like, I played 55 hours, give or take, of Starfield, and it's like, I really, really love that game. But man, like, I've talked about it over and over again, I have a lot of issues with that game. It's like, it's just like any other year would Starfield deserve to be in a nominee? I'd say most years, yeah, it probably would be. But I mean, this is just it's a stacked year, and it's like, I get it. This is I think the 10th, 11th year of the Game Awards in this, you know, and with Jeff Keighley running it by himself and not having, like, the bullshit Spike TV stuff in there. And yeah, there's never been an Xbox game as a nominee for Game of the Year. But it's like, we've been doing this podcast for over a decade now, Gables.
Yep.
And the thing we've been talking about for over a decade is Xbox and the lack of games. And it's like, you look at the last decade, it's like, how many games would have a shot at actually being a finalist? It's Gears of War 4, 5, and then Starfield. Like, I'm not going to count Diablo, because they got Diablo after they officially owned Activision Blizzard after Diablo came out. So
that's kind of crazy to think about, though. Gears 4, Gears 5, and, like, freaking Starfield were the three games that came from Microsoft's first party. that were the closest to being close, like inside of that game of the year sort of range.
Obviously, they've had like a bunch of great Forza games, but we've talked about it. It's like games like, you know, when we talk about Street Fighter VI potentially being a finalist on this list, it's like those, you know, racing games and fighting games, I feel like they're in kind of the same category where it's just niche enough that it's never really going to get its due, maybe, unless it's like, it's got to be like next level to like get into like.
Unless you're like sort of an anomaly and get nominated for like the game of the year thing, like say like with Smash Ultimate that one year and stuff.
Yeah, but 2018.
With that,
yeah.
You know, for a fighting game to secure like a game of the year sort of aspect, it's got to go beyond, it's got to go above and beyond anything that came before it. It's got to have not only support from the community, but universally acclaimed and stuff like that across the board. Which, to be perfectly honest, Street Fighter VI, when that released this year, there was a lot of praise for it. Obviously, there's a lot of this and a lot of that in the community. The fighting game community, like, ate that up. But at the same point, now we're seeing things with the Game of the Year stuff. And, yeah, it's most likely going to be the fighting game of the year. But at the same point, it just contributes to more of what you were saying, though, is, like, games, like, say, fighting games, racing games, even, like, certain, like, puzzle games or something like that, and other genres as well, are kind of those type of niche sort of genres to where you'll have some fantastic, like, historically awesome games, but at the same point, when they release or something, they're not often inside of even the mentions of Game of the Year lists, let alone, like, winning Game of the Year.
Yeah, it's like Baldur's Gate 3 is a very niche type of game. It's a CRPG, D&D game. Like, there's a decent amount of those, like, games on a smaller scale that come out every year, and, you know, and it's like, this game is one of the biggest games of the year. So that's kind of like the list. It's like, that's the closest thing we've got to, like, usually we get like that indie game. It's like the kind of like the token indie game that like make the list.
Right.
And, or like maybe not like an indie game, but like a smaller game. Like It Takes Two, which I know is EA published game, but it's a smaller game on the grand scale of things. And it's like that actually won in 2021. It's like, but like usually, we get like, you know, like the Limbo or not Limbo, Inside and, Celeste, but you know, this year's is too big. It's not, that's just not going to happen. So, next up here, Game Direction. I've heard a lot of people hubbub about this one as well. Cause Game Direction is just, so it's the rest of the categories have 5 nominees. This is literally the same ones except Resident Evil 4 is taken out. So you got Spider-Man 2, Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Mario Wonder, Tears of the Kingdom. I've heard a lot of hubbub about this one. People upset. It's like, what's the difference between this and Game of the Year? And I think most years it's like, there's different nominees here. This year is just different because, obviously it's a pretty big year, but like these games have so different the way they're done. But like, there's like, you know, 2019, like Death Stranding won and it wasn't nominated for Game of the Year, but it won Best Direction. And it's like that game definitely won it. Cause it's so different from anything else we played that year. And like, I'm a guy that took me, 4 years to finally force my way through Death Stranding. But like that game is so totally done differently than anything else we've done. Like, yeah, it's hard to argue that. Like God of War Ragnarok won it last year. And it's like that game is the way that game is shot and made. It's totally different than any other way. Red Dead Redemption 2 won it. You know, it's like, but usually a lot of years we see games that aren't, you know, it's a differently year. Yeah, you're going to see some of the same games from Game of the Year, but typically we do see different games in this list, but it's just, you know, this year it's the same 5. I don't know. I like the idea of the category. But some of the years you're going to have shit like this, I feel like. So, I don't know. What about you, Gables?
Yeah, you know what? In terms of the game direction for this category, I mean, I don't really have too many issues with this one either. Only because, you know, it's kind of like, in my personal opinion, setting up for like maybe one or two games to actually win that award. But then again, I'll come up with those predictions for next week. But at the same point, you know, it's like, you think about game direction, you think of, okay, what is it that sets it apart from everything else? What is it that sets, like, differences in terms of what's new that got brought to the table? Or did, when they go and went to the story or the gameplay in a certain direction, did they fully execute on what they wanted to go for that rarely any other game does? You know, it's like, you gotta keep some of those thoughts into consideration stuff. But as far as the game selections for this category, it's fine. It's nothing, like, bad.
Yeah, we will get into my issues with some of these nominees, but most of these I didn't have an issue with. Best narrative here, we have Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Cyberpunk, Phantom Liberty specifically, Final Fantasy 16, Marvel Spider-Man 2. So three of the same games from Game of the Year, but we have Final Fantasy 16 and Phantom Liberty on here. Once again, no real issues. And we'll get deeper dives into this next week, but yeah. No, I don't have any major problems with this one. What about you, Gables?
Okay, let's see for this one. Well, to be perfectly honest, I know it sounds like kind of like the same old song and dance and stuff, but I really don't have too many issues with this one either. I
mean, yeah.
Granted, I can understand what people were saying about Cyberpunk 2077 and stuff, but yeah, you know what? I'm fine with it.
Yeah, well, I think because that one specifically, the DLC, that's why it doesn't bother me because it's focused on that. But yeah, best art direction here, we got Alan Wake 2, Hi-Fi Rush, Liza P, Tears of the Kingdom, Mario Wonder. I don't have a major problem with this one. The only one I'm like, I kind of scratch my head a little bit at is Tears of the Kingdom, albeit it's fucking gorgeous. I'm not saying that, but it is the Breath of the Wild art design on Tears of the Kingdom again. So that's my only small gripe I have, I guess, with it. Like, it's gorgeous. I'm not doubting it because of that, but I was just like well, Alan Wake 2.
Yeah. Go ahead. Was just saying we could kind of say the same thing in terms of, like, say, Liza P to some extent, because it's like the artwork and of it is fine from what I have seen and stuff, but yet it's kind of similar, not just in terms of like art style, but also in terms of like other features and stuff, similar to like Bloodborne in that regard. Yeah.
I think a lot of that also takes place though into like the enemy design and the character and stuff like that. So it's not just like the graphical style of it, but yeah, like to me, like Mario Wonder, Alan Wake 2, Hi-Fi Rush, to me, like obviously should be finalists, I think. Yeah, I agree. Like Liza P may be like a small gripe with, but it's just like Tears of Kingdom is just kind of the one that, like, I don't know. It's like, I'm not discounting. I'm not saying it's bad. Like, I loved it. I love the way the game was fucking gorgeous. But yeah, I don't know. I don't like, you know, that's not something, that's not a hill I'm going to die on, I guess. So, yeah. Next up here, best score in music. Tears of the Kingdom. Woo! Final Fantasy 16. Hi-Fi Rush. Yeah, boy! I love all this music. Alan Wake 2 and Baldur's Gate 3. I've heard some of the music. It fucking slaps. But I've not heard it in the context of the game. And sometimes it's the music in the context of what's happening in the game that hits you. Because Tears of Kingdom and Final Fantasy 16, like, there are moments where the music swells with the perfect opportunity of what's happening in the game. And those two games made me cry just from, like, how, like, the way that worked together. Hi-Fi Rush, that music is fucking awesome. Alan Wake 2, very good music. Baldur's Gate 3, from what I've heard out of context, very good. I don't have a major issue with this one. Again, I don't know. We're going to get into, like I said, we're going to get into my issues here in a minute. But, yeah, I don't know. Gables, anything you got? Is there anything, like, maybe, like, maybe not snubbed, but is there something here that, like, you would like to maybe, like, there's something that you want to, like, you want to mention, I guess? Because I can't really think of it. Like, Mario Wonder, actually. I just thought of that. Mario Wonder, there's some awesome musical notes in there that I'd love to see in there.
Well, that's the thing, though. You know, like, let's say with Mario Wonder, that also had a good soundtrack and stuff. I mean, I don't think that it was strong. I think it honestly could have made it onto this list and stuff, you know? But at the same point, you know, it's like you see the composition scores of, say, like, Tears of the Kingdom, you know, in Final Fantasy 16, which all the spur-of-the-moment stuff like you were just talking about, you know? And then, like, Hi-Fi Rush has a distinct, like hip-hop sort of, like, soundtrack and stuff, similar to, like, other types of, like, kind of reminiscent somewhat to, say, Jet Set Radio, but not, like, exactly what that initial game aimed for in terms of that. But every game inside of this category has strong-ass music, you know? Mm. And, like, I think Super Mario Wonder kind of is snubbed to some extent, but my gosh, there is definitely a couple more I could say, though, but at the same point, I'm not thinking of anything off the top of my head. Mm. And that's a shame, though, because even though there have been some great musical compositions put out with, like, with games this year and stuff, I can only really think of maybe two.
Yeah. It's been a strong year for music. Definitely. I mean, music just seems to getting better in every year in gaming. So yeah, but once again, no major issues. Best audio design here is next. We got Alan Wake 2, Dead Space, Hi-Fi Rush, Resident Evil 4, Marvel Spider-Man 2 that is recognizing the best in-game audio and sound design. Obviously, horror games sound design is very important in those games. Yes. And I think like so you have three horror like survival horror games in that list. Plus you got Hi-Fi Rush, which is totally built around sound design. Marvel Spider-Man 2, you know, the PlayStation is very big on the 3D audio, so I'm guessing that's probably what it was for that one. Oh, and they'd had the Dolby Atmos update like a couple days after the game came out, so I bet but that's probably what it is. Yeah, it's the survival horror game, like I said, man, survival horror games, like if you don't have great sound design, like what the fuck are we doing here?
Let's just say this, man, it's like when Dead Space Remaster came out and stuff, I had a chance to play like a few hours of that. I had my Pulse headsets on and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And literally, when you hear, when you get a lot of like the, you're moving around, all of a sudden you hear like the necromorphs and stuff, like their moans with this or that, they're just stirring around and stuff. It literally feels like, it really sounds like that they're back behind you and stuff. That atmosphere, that sort of like sensation to where you feel kind of like a dread sort of motion or something as you're trying to go through like each area. It's like, okay, what's behind me? Okay, what's going on here? It's like, okay, I'm kind of a little bit paranoid here. I'm on edge and stuff. Yeah. Games like Dead Space like Remake and also Resident Evil 4 Remake, I've had a chance to play with like with headphones and stuff like that. And just the atmospheric way that they're able to interpret like certain sound placements and certain feel. You know, it's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. I advise anybody, if you play either one of those games, get yourself a good pair of gaming headsets. Make sure that the audio is, like, nice and crisp and stuff, and then, like, it's a good quality of it, because it immerses you into another level. Absolutely.
Yeah. Agreed. Best performance here, we got Ben Starr, my boy! From Final Fantasy 16, Cameron Monahan, I believe I say that. He is from Star Wars Jedi Survivor. He is Cal Kestis. Idris Elba. I wish I put the name of the character here. Idris Elba. Obviously, he's the one of the characters from Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty. Melanie Libert, I believe is how you say that. She played Saga Anderson in Alan Wake 2. Neil Newbin from Baldur's Gate 3. I don't know. I think he's one of the main characters. I think he's the sexy dude with gray hair. And then Yuri Lowenthal, who is Peter Parker in Marvel Spider-Man 2. So really great list here. Ben Starr just seems like a cool dude. I follow him on Twitter. He seems like a dude. Honestly, I wish his uncle from the game was nominated, even though like he has a very small part in the game. But every time we saw Clive, the main character that Ben Starr plays, he'd always say, "Clive, my boy." And I just randomly to myself will just say, "Clive, my boy." I have no idea why. But I just do it. I just love that guy so fucking much. So I don't know. Like, once again, no major issues here.
I can't really add much to it and stuff because I really didn't play too much of like a lot of these games in this category to really like know which ones are good or bad, like representations of voice acting.
Yeah. I skipped a few ahead here because like accessibility and like that's just not what we know. But I went on the best ongoing here. Apex Legends, Cyberpunk 2077, Final Fantasy 14, Genshin Impact, Fortnite, a lot of the usual suspects here. Cyberpunk is one I've been seeing a lot of pushback on. I, once again, do not have a problem with this one because it's like, this isn't, people are like, oh, well, it's because the game's done now. That shouldn't count. And I agree. But what this is like, they've had two major updates to this game that weren't bug fixes, like totally redesigns of like the skill tree and progression and everything like that. And on top of that, they had the big deal, the Phantom Liberty drop. To me, that would go in the ongoing category. If it was just bug fixes,
right.
Yeah, fuck off. Yeah, that's, I agree. But the people that voted for this as a contender, I don't think we're voting because, hey, they finally fixed the game 3 years later. I think they had the 1.5 update this year. They had the big 2.0 update when Phantom Liberty came out. That totally redesigned the entire game and changed like the way you play a lot of the games, like the way like the police work in the game and everything like that. They totally redid a lot of that. So I get where they're coming from. Obviously, I didn't like Cyberpunk, the main game. So to me, this like I don't have, and I, you know, I play Fortnite every now and again, but it's like I don't. None of these games are like, I have like any major problems with. It's just a lot of, it's just kind of a boring category because it's just a lot of the same usual suspects every year.
I don't really have too much either in terms of like issues with a lot of the ongoing category and stuff. I understand the arguments for Cyberpunk, but at the same time, every single one of these games are like considered like, say, ongoing sort of like games and stuff. You know, just just really don't have too much to add to this one.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. I do want to, just for the best community support, a lot of people are mad because Destiny 2 was in here. Obviously, with the major layoffs and everything happened, it did come out that the votes were put in before the layoffs happened. So that's why Destiny 2 was probably nominated. If the votes happened pre-Destiny 2, obviously it wouldn't have probably happened. But
Yeah. So. It's still funny post-haste after all of those layoffs and stuff that Destiny 2 would be even remotely like considered like a nominated for like a best community type of thing because, oh, God.
Well, so best community is for outstanding community support, transparency, responsiveness, social media activity, game updates, and patches. And you look at the category, it's, I mean, outside of Baldur's Gate 3, which was an early access game, they've been doing tons of updates and shit like that throughout the year. For, you know, Cyberpunk 2077's in there, what we just talked about. No Man's Sky, Final Fantasy 14. It's basically like, you look every year, it's like best ongoing game and community support. Most years you're going to have like the exact same list every year, except for like maybe one or two difference. And for the most part, it's basically what it is. So, yeah. But yeah, if the votes would have happened literally like 3 or 4 days earlier or later, I think people would have taken that off the list. So,
honestly, I would think that the biggest thing I have against this one is like just having Destiny 2 in general, not just because of the whole layoff stuff, but even before then, and also the launch of like Lightfall and all this other stuff, plus everything else that's been sort of interwoven that's led up to the point of all these developers and stuff being released. You know, it's just been such a kind of like whirlwind for the Destiny 2 community in and of itself. But yeah, it does not deserve that nomination for this award. Absolutely, 100% feel that it doesn't.
Yeah.
But, I mean, hell, if there was another game, I would think that probably would go into its place. I mean, that maybe not so much better, give or take who you talk to. World of Warcraft probably would go into that category.
I mean, well, they've had a rough year as well.
Yeah,
so
I know.
So it, yeah, I know. I don't know who. I don't know who could have got that one. That spot anyways. Best independent game. This is the first time, Gables, where this is another big ordeal that's been going on. So best independent game for outstanding creative and technical achievement in a game made outside of traditional publisher. So if Cocoon, Dredge,
yep,
Viewfinder,
uh-huh,
Sea of Stars,
uh-huh,
the last game, Dave the Diver. So Dave Diver, phenomenal game. People love that game.
Yes.
It's one of the most beloved games of the year. Dave the Diver,
yes,
is owned by Nexon, which is a, I believe, company based out of South Korea, if I'm not mistaken. It's either that or Taiwan. I cannot remember. I think it's Taiwan. Anyways, this is a multi-billion-dollar company that did not buy Mint Rocket, who made Dave the Diver. They created Mint Rocket and then made the studio to then make Dave the Diver. So this is my issue that I have with some of these categories we're going to get on here on out, is that I feel like the wording needs to be better because there's, I almost feel like maybe we need another a category for like, I don't know what the name would be. I don't even know what, like, you know, what's the description mean? What is that? But like a category for like, I don't know, like, it's like Shredder's Revenge last year. Like, that wasn't going to really win any of, like, the bigger, like, it got a couple nominations, but it was like, good for you for being nominated type of thing. I would love it to, like, that game is too big to be independent because it is not an independent studio, but it is smaller than a fucking Tears of the Kingdom or Final Fantasy 16. Like, it's just not on the same level. I would like, if possible, there was another category made for stuff like that in between, like, I guess, like the triple I, where it's like, it's a bigger budget. They have, bigger pockets. Like they are making they're working, they're owned by a bigger company, stuff like that, but it's a smaller game. Kind of like a Pentiment, which was an Xbox made game. You know, it was made by 15 people, Obsidian, like something like that, like be in that category, like a Dave the Diver be in that category as well. Or like, I don't know, a fucking, six people at Nintendo put a game together. Like we've seen that happen before. They, a small team decided to make a small game. They just put it out in the eShop, you know? You know, like I like a different category for that. And I feel like Dave Diver should be in there, in that category. Even Mint Rocket themselves even said that they are not an independent game. So
then that just makes me question what the hell is an independent game then? If you're allowing like somebody, like say with Nexon and stuff like that, creating the studio, putting out a indie like game and stuff, but technically not an indie game, and Dave the Diver,
yeah,
it doesn't make any sense.
To me, like this is like where the narrative, like the description fails it, where it's outstanding creative and technical achievement in a game made outside of traditional publisher system. I feel like it needs, it's too vague. Cause then I started hearing people like, well, technically EA is a fucking independent company. Like, no, fuck off. That's like, you know, government made like the, like for like porn, they like, they're basically what they said about porn is, you know, it when you see it. Mm. And that's kind of where you decide like what is porn and what's not. And I feel like when you look at it, like, when it's in the game, you know it's in the game when you see it, kind of thing. And maybe that's the issue. Actually, I guess that kind of goes against it, because like you look at Dave the Diver, it's like it looks like an indie game. Like if you don't Google, like, because let's face it, like I love Cocoon. I couldn't tell you. I see it now. Geometric Interactive made this game. I didn't know who made it. You know, like most indie games that most people play. They probably don't remember the name of the studio that made it. So I don't begrudge people for not knowing that this is a multi-billion dollar company that made the studio to then, they didn't buy the studio. They made the studio. So it doesn't bother me too much on that end, but it's like, I don't know. I see people like maybe Jeff needs to go in and like put the kibosh when that comes in, or like there's a group of people that like, hey, decide like if that's a, like the vote, when the nominees come in, it's like, okay, well this is disqualified. And then someone else takes this place. I don't know if I like that, because it's like it can get some weird gray areas. I don't really know if I like, because like Jeff has talked about in interviews where he's like, you know, like if people enough people vote for Fortnite to be game of the year, like if, you know, I'm not going to stop people from doing that. You know, he's like, so I get that. Like he's a little more hands off on that. Like he lets people kind of decide it. But something I like, and it's never going to be perfect. There'll never be a perfect system for anything. Like we see this in all awards shows, every award event, whether it's sports, Oscars, Emmys, there's always going to be some issues. But this is one where it's like, yeah, like we that one should be gone. But like overall, I don't have a problem with it being like a nominated for something. But like, yeah, it doesn't fit this category. But it's like, I think it's one of those things where it's like people really love Dave the Diver. And it's like one of those cases where it's like it just fits in no other category. Like it's not going to, like it's not an action game. It's not an RPG. It's not an adventure game. It's not good enough to beat these other games in Game of the Year or Best Game Direction. So it's like people are just like, this is one of those things where it's like, well, this is where it's going to go. So I don't know. Any final thoughts on this one, Gables?
No parting thoughts, nothing of the sort. I think I pretty much said what I wanted to say.
Okay. All right, I'm going to skip a few here. No, Best Air VR, no. Best Action Game. All right, Gables, here's where we're going to get some of my gripes.
Okay.
All right, so... Best Action Game. We have Armored Core 6, Dead Island 2, Ghost Runner 2, Hi-Fi Rush, Remnant 2. All right, we're going to go to the next one here, Gables.
Okay.
Best Action Adventure. Alan Wake 2, Marvel Spider-Man 2, Resident Evil 4, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. This one doesn't bother me. Get to the next one here. Best RPG. Starfield. Baldur's Gate 3. Sea of Stars. So far, so good, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Last two. Final Fantasy 16, Liza P. How
are either of them RPGs?
So here's the issue that we're in nowadays with gaming. I thought some of these were kind of dumb, even reading Nintendo Power back 20 plus years ago now, where like they'd have best action game, best act. Like I think the whole action adventure thing is kind of muddy. I didn't make, they make sense to me then. Nowadays, we see so many, every game nowadays has RPG mechanics. They have level up systems, they have skill trees, stuff like that. When I see best action game, to me, I see Ghost Runner 2. I see Hi-Fi Rush. I see even Remnant 2. And I would say those are action games. When I think action game, I think Hi-Fi Rush. I think Devil May Cry. I think Platinum games.
Yes.
When I look at action adventure, I think of games that focus on combat but are in like open environments, open world, like a Resident Evil 4, Marvel Spider-Man, like a Far Cry, Tears of the Kingdom, Star Wars Jedi, Alan Wake 2. Like those are technically, yeah, I action adventure games. I look at RPG, Baldur's Gate 3, Sea of Stars, Starfield, definitely RPGs. Like Starfield has really good combat, but it is built around your character and developing your character, role playing your character. This, but then you have Lies of P and Final Fantasy 16 here. This is where, like, I feel like we need to, like, figure some shit out here. And it's been an issue for multiple years now, but this one is just, like, why is Dead Island 2, how is that different than Lies of P or Final Fantasy 16? As far as, like, I know obviously they're different games, or Encore 6. Like, those games kind of, like, they're in open air. I don't really know too much about Armored Core 6, but like Dead Island 2, Final Fantasy 16, Lies of P, open areas, open world. How they're not different? They're not really different games as far as like a genre, I would say. They're action adventure games and they're in different categories.
Yeah, that's the thing though. With a lot of these RPG mechanics and the RPG elements like splashed into just random action games and stuff, they try to get by the bare minimum of like being like an actual RPG, or trying to get away with just being an action RPG and this and that. But when it comes to Final Fantasy 16, obviously there's things that can be a little bit more in depth in terms of what you can do. But at the core scheme of things and stuff, you're still slashing stuff. You're still doing things like in an action game sort of way, with all these set pieces, all this other stuff. You know, I mean, you're not like spending like predominantly like just 20 minutes on like just one battle or something like that. Just have them meticulously planning out all these.
Well, all these Gables, types of you didn't do some of those boss fights are fucking like.
Well, I know,
huge.
I know.
But yeah, I for the most part, I agree.
Yeah, for the most part, yes, I understand what you're talking about. But when it comes to Lies of P, you know, I mean, it's in the same range of my. Honestly, it's like, say, like with the Bloodborne and stuff, to where, yeah, that's predominantly an action game, has some RPG mechanics and stuff. I mean, Elden Ring is definitely inside that same action adventure sort of like reigns and stuff, even though people considered it like one of the best RPGs of last year. But, it's like you give this category and stuff for like basically anything like RPG stuff. You know, it's like Baldur's Gate 3, I can completely understand. Turn based RPG stuff, a lot of meticulous planning for each character, a lot of meticulous like set pieces and stuff. I mean, I get that. Starfield, yeah, I get that too, because you can create all these different builds, all these different types of like ways and stuff. I mean, it has a lot of player choice in what you can do. But I would have personally have loved to see like other RPGs make it into this sort of category, even like say
Octopath Traveler 2.
Well, Octopath Traveler 2, that's definitely been something I've been seeing recommended. But Sea of Stars comes to mind, too.
That is nominated.
Oh, yeah, Sea of Stars. God damn it, I'm not paying attention well enough. But, yeah, Sea of Stars definitely belongs on this list. But, yeah, Octopath Traveler 2 is one. I would honestly think that even, like, say, a remaster of, like, say, Star Ocean Second Story would belong somewhat on this list.
Yeah.
Opposed to, say, Lies of P and Final Fantasy 16, don't get me wrong, both of those games have great quality in terms of what they do right, and both of them have raved like great reviews and stuff to it. But as far as an RPG goes, I mean, oh man, those games are just listed right now in terms of like, say, with Sea of Stars, Starfield, Baldur's Gate 3, and stuff like that. And then even like what I was saying before with Star Ocean Second, like story and remaster and stuff, and Octopath Traveler 2, you know, it's like that to me, it screams an RPG list, not just because of how much choice, but because of how much other shit that's involved inside of this stuff. But yeah, you know, it's like a would have made better sense though is Liza P probably being inside of like with the action game category.
Or action adventure. Yeah,
like, or action adventure.
Yeah, they just that's something I want them to go. Like, I get what they're doing here is people are trying to like they want to nominate more games, and then yeah, like these categories are kind of muddy to begin with. It's hard. I understand why it's hard. It's difficult to like, okay, where did like you can make the argument of like what's an action game, what's an action adventure, what's it technically has this, so it can go here. I think somewhere like where Jeff and company need to like get involved and like give some examples or like, I don't know, like do like this is something like we want to give up more awards. Cause if you get rid of like the game genre awards, then you have like 10 fucking awards to give out. So you want to make more, I get it. And people want to nominate more games instead of we just see the same 5-6 games over and over again. So I get like people are like, hey, I like this game a lot. What's good. We want to, let's put it here.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Stuff.
But, and I understand that I'm just, you know, I'd probably be the same way if I was part of the nomination crew, but like, yeah, that needs to be worked on. We got to speed run some of these gables here. Best fighting game, God of Rock, Mortal Kombat 1, Nickelodeon All-Stars Brawl 2, Pocket Bravery rather, and Street Fighter 6. So
yeah, no issues with that. I mean, that's basically what I would have thought.
Yeah, no seafood this year, so that helps. Best family game, Disney Illusion Island, Party Animals, Pikmin 4, Super Mario Brothers, Wonder, Sonic Superstars. So
I agree with this list. I don't mind it whatsoever.
Yeah. Best sim strategy. Yeah, we're gonna skip that one. Who cares? Best sports racing. Who cares? Best multiplayer. Who cares? Best adaptation here. This will be the last one we do. Castlevania Nocturne. That is that anime on Netflix. Gran Turismo the movie. Last of Us, the TV show, Twisted Metal, the TV show, and Super Mario Brothers Wonder. Pretty great list, actually. Like, not a bad movie, TV show on this list, I'd say. But pretty good so far. Like, we'll do a full like prediction list next week, but we just kind of want to go through that one by one,
right?
Before we do all that, but let's move on, Gables, to the next thing here. We had an indie showcase this week. I was gonna do a live reaction. When I got home from work, and then I was just like, I'm too tired, and I just never did it. So, and Gail's kind of happy I didn't, because there wasn't. Obviously, look, I say this every time with these like indies, with like whenever the state of plays happen, and it's like focused on third party indie stuff, or the Xbox one we had just recently, and then like Nintendo indie stuff. Where it's like sometimes it's like it's totally different. Like there's been indie events where like I loved it. And Gables didn't, or Gables loved it, and I'm just like, whatever. It is very the indie games are very personable for people. So we're gonna run through some of these. So Black Chimera, this is a it's coming in spring 2024. It is like a future punk Castlevania style game. So 2D, Metroidvania. Looks pretty cool, but I'm not a Metroidvania guy. What about you, Gables?
Honestly, I kind of like the look of the game. I mean, I did like that more action focused. More like it definitely had a lot more intrigue than the vast majority of the games that were presented on here. So, yeah, I sort of like that one.
Yeah. Next up here, we have the star named Eos. It's the first person puzzle exploration game where you get memories through like photos, and like you go into like the memories through the photos. It's coming out in spring 2024. Looks beautiful. I like the art design. It's not a me game.
I share the same sentiment.
We have Moonstone Island. Is a cozy looking game. It is like a it's like a deck builder game. It's coming in spring. I don't know, Gables. A lot of these just did not do anything for me. I'm sorry.
That's the thing about this indie direct and stuff. I mean, you and I kind of share the same sentiments, really, to where there wasn't really much that either of us could really latch on to, because quite honestly, a lot of these indie games appeal to certain audiences, and quite honestly, I mean, that's fine, that's okay, but it just really came off as sort of like a lame duck in all things considered, because it's like you get this indie direct thing that's announced, it's like, oh hey, you know, and it's like, and of course other people take things to the next level because that's what they do. You know, they expect the moon and stuff, but get severely disappointed and stuff with like not one of the biggest games or something like that gets
Silk Song wasn't there,
like Silk Song or whatsoever. I mean, I even knew going into this thing that Silk Song is not going to be a thing in this thing. I mean,
no.
It's going to be something completely either Team Cherry is going to go through and announce that themselves on their YouTube page or wherever or on Twitter, or it's going to be at the Game Awards. I mean,
or it's going to be like at a main show for one of the big three.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
It's too big for an indie thing at this point. Next up here, On Your Tails. It is a investigative game where you like everybody in the game is like their animals. And like kind of a cute little island town here, looks like. And I don't know. I felt like I love the art design of it. It looks very, it's very charming. Coming out in 2024. Like you're just trying to solve mysteries. Kind of like Detective Pikachu, but that style of game, if you're into like an investigative style game, that's there for you. Planet Lana is coming to Switch. No release date or anything like that, but it said it said next spring. So
that's a good game.
We do have that. Yeah, I love that game. It's a great game. Outer Wilds is coming December 7th actually to Switch, but so looks decent. Looks very Switchy though on there. So if that's something you're into, Braid was announced. We talked about last week. I already got a release date for April 30th, but that is coming to Switch as well on April 30th. We had Death Trick Double Blind. It is a it's a visual novel. I was trying to remember, like, what fucking game is this? I watched it again today to like just refresh my memory, because I watched it, what was that, Tuesday night, and I just totally forgot half the shit. So watch it again. It's a visual novel game, you know, an investigative game that is coming in 2024. There's a demo out now if you were interested in that. Gables, stop me if there's anything you want to talk about here. A Highland Song. Now this, Gables, is what I call my shit. Okay. So this is a exploration rhythm cozy game here where like you are like, it's all 2D side scroller, but like you like move to the beat and like you're climbing like mountains and like climbing, going through the wilderness. And like, but then like you gotta like pick your path and like the game, the story changes based on your path. I just like the art design. I like the vibes of this game. Some cool music. It's coming out December 5th. Now this, I don't know if I'm going to play it December 5th because there's a lot of shit I want to play right now. But this is what I would put into the my shit category for Tyler. So, and then last but not least here, Shantae Advance. Did we get a release date on this one?
Well, I don't think we got a release date.
Next year. It said next year. So that was all we got. But yeah, that is. I know Gables, you're kind of excited for this one, aren't you?
Dude, this is my shit when it comes to that stuff, because it is definitely, this is definitely something I would have played if this game would have released initially on the Game Boy Advance. I mean, I was so into the fucking Game Boy Advance. I had all like the major games that from like high school all the way up until like around, you know, like whichever and stuff until like around the DS release. But yeah, Shantae Advance, it looks fairly good, and I'm glad they went through and did the initial announcement for the Switch and stuff, because there were some people that were afraid this was going to be like a Game Boy Advance game only, as a limited run, which, yeah, I think it's cool that they have that option, but yet the look of the game itself is really reminiscent of that classic sort of like 2001, 2003 style of Game Boy Advance games. Different types of things you can do inside of that game and stuff, like changing things in the foreground, background, doing all this other stuff. But it really looks like it's going to be a fun time. And quite honestly, yeah, it's the thing about it is, it's like, it's just a relic of like a lost era. And that's more or less what I like. I love my retro styled games, and I definitely love it when you have classic games that were never completed back when all of a sudden get re-released in modern times, because it's basically a slice of the past that never released, but now you get a chance to enjoy it.
Yeah. It's always cool to see like, you know, comebacks like that. We don't see that shit in gaming really ever. So that's pretty awesome. And it's funny because that game's finally coming out, even though like they've made sequels of that based off of that game, and it just never came out. So it's just funny to me.
Dude, I think it's really funny that in the past like 5 years or something like that, we have had a slew of games that were considered canceled at one point, all of a sudden get redone and stuff like that and released in modern days. Metroid Dread was a game like that, that literally was like that for years.
Yeah, like 15 years. So. Yeah,
for 15 years. Yeah. And Shantae Advance, hell, there's still videos on YouTube of that prototype that was shown and stuff all those years ago of that game. And it looks, and the looks from this game that they got for what they're going to release and stuff, it's definitely, you can see a lot of the influence back from those prototypes and stuff, but it's just so amazing that games like that are getting re-released.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So good.
Yeah, so overall, I mean, it's whatever direct for, I think, for us, but I mean, there's, like I said, there's been multiple where I come out of it. There's like three or four games I'm excited for. The last one they had, I was actually, that was awesome. But people out there, they loved it. Sorry for, you know, poo-pooing it maybe for you a little bit, but if you're happy, I hope you're happy. But next up, Gables, let's get into one of my favorite things of the month here. We got the Circana report for October. Few things here. Spider-Man 2 sold over 5 million units in 11 days, becoming already the fourth best-selling game of the year. Super Mario Wonder sold 4.3 million units in the first 2 weeks. It's already the fastest-selling Mario game of all time. Interesting, though, Gables, that Spider-Man 2 is actually had a better start. Come out the same day, had a better start, even though it's on less than half of the consoles of a Switch.
Right.
That's kind of crazy. Never thought, you know, like we talk about Switch games being on steroids for as far as sales go. Obviously, Mario Wonder will have a much longer tail and will greatly surpass Spider-Man 2, but kind of a cool little initial start there for Spider-Man, even though it's like Spider-Man 2018 is the highest selling PlayStation game of all time, but no surprise there, but kind of surprised at the start. Next up here, Alan Wake 2 is not on the list because it's digital only, and Epic does not give digital sales numbers. And plus, it came out the 27th, so it only had like 2 days on the list or something like that, a few days on the list. So even if it could have been on the list, it only had a few days, but it won't be. Haven't confirmed this yet, but there's 9 new games in the top 20 list here, and potentially might be the most ever for a month to have 9 new games on the top 20 list.
Huh.
And then Gables, just like Undertaker's WrestleMania streak, one of the greatest streaks in our history of video gaming, Mario Kart 8, after 78 straight months of being in the top 20 list, is no longer on the top 20 list.
Bro, I gotta do like a quick little mathematic thing, dude. It's like 78 weeks straight.
Yeah, so what is that? 60 is
that's
five,
like 6.5 years.
6.5 years, yeah. Yeah, so that is the Switch launch. That does not include the Wii U version. So it's been on here every month since the Switch one came out April 2017.
Yep.
And is finally off the list, off the top 20 list here. So pretty nice little run there for that game, especially being a Wii U port. It's even more incredible.
Oh my god.
So here's the top 20 here. So Lords of the Fallen is number 20. That does not include digital sales though, so we don't know, but we know that game sold, I think, like over 1 million units its first week. So pretty cool, pretty good for that game. Minecraft at number 19. It's slowly dropping further and further down, so maybe that streak will be over. Minecraft might be on this list longer than Mario Kart 8. Well, maybe when we might find out next month, because it is 19 and it might be out next month. Next up here, Star Wars number 18, Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Number 17, Forza Motorsport. Part of that is because Forza Motorsport had the early release, was on the early release sales, like the people that paid like the either the extra $30 if you have Game Pass or pay the $100 to get the game early. That was on last month. So the bulk of that money was on that one. So and then it's also on Game Pass. So that's probably why it's at 17. And then number 16 here, The Crew Motorfest. Pretty shocking how well that game's doing. It's already in the top, I think like top 15 best-selling games of the year. Number 15 here, Elden Ring, still holding strong. Pretty big drop here for number one last month. Now at number 14, Starfield. Obviously, this is based off dollars, not sales.
Yes.
But a lot of that, probably a lot of that money was because people bought it early on either PC or like someone like me paid the extra, that plays on Game Pass, paid the extra $30 to get it 5 days early. So you got it for Labor Day weekend. So that's probably why. And also it's on Game Pass. So we see this a lot with like Xbox exclusive games where they have that initial big launch and then they kind of fall fast because most people just play it on Game Pass.
Yep.
Number 13 here, NBA 2K24. Number 12, Gables, another brand new, well, kind of new game, Metal Gear Solid Master Collection Volume 1. Suckers. dumbasses buying Metal Gear Solid Master Volume Collection 1. Not talking about myself here. I totally didn't buy that game already. Anyways, moving on. Number 10 here. Number 11 here. It was 10 last month. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Still selling strong, even though the new one's about to come out at that point anyways in October. Number 10, Hogwarts Legacy. And now we get into a lot of new shit. Number 9. Fucking so disappointed in everybody out there. Sonic Superstars.
Are you that surprised, man? I mean, come on.
I'm just disappointed. I'm not surprised. I'm just disappointed, you know? It's like, I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed, you know, in gamers out there. It's like, come on, man. You're never going to learn. It's like, I said it over a year ago. You guys are in an abusive relationship. It's like, oh, it's a really good 7, and people are just happy to take 7s. You know, it's like, I don't know, man. Like, maybe you should expect a Mario Wonder every now and again. I don't know. Like, maybe start expecting it. And maybe they'll actually, like, put some effort into it and, like, give you a good game instead of just giving you shit Sonic games for 30-plus years. Piece of shit games that don't actually matter. It's like, I'm a hedgehog that goes fast, and I eat chili dogs. Why the fuck do I eat chili dogs? I don't know. They just had to give me a wacky thing to do. Fuck off. Tails, fuck you too. Knuckles, you're okay. That silver dude, go fuck yourself too. Number 8, NHL 24. There's a respectable organization, NHL, unlike Sonic. The Sonic of sports, sports, UFC, number 7, UFC 5. Number 6 here, Mortal Kombat 1, dropping down from number 2 from the previous month. Number 5, EA Sports FC 24. I got to get used to saying FC 24 now. Number 4, hold number 4 here, Madden NFL 24. And finally, the top 3. Three brand new games. Number 3 here. Pretty shocking, Gables. Assassin's Creed Mirage.
Hey, people want some traditional Assassin's Creed. Hey.
Yeah, well, I'm happy about this one because that means it did also come out, like, I think, like, October 7th or something like that. So I had pretty much most of the month to get sales. But this is based off dollar amount, not individual copy sold. And this is a $50 game instead of a $70 game or a $60 game. So,
and it's not bloated.
Yeah, and so it does help. It's been 3 years since we've had Assassin's Creed, so that does help. But, like, also, like, hey, maybe this will show them, hey, like, maybe in between your big one, give us a smaller one. Because, I own the game. I've played the game. I'm so fucking buried in games right now. Gables, it's not even funny that I haven't got a chance to really actually dive into it. But I'm excited. I'm actually really excited to jump into that game here soon. Number 2, we've already talked about these other ones. Mario Wonder. Number 1, Marvel Spider-Man 2. Pretty cool list. It's always exciting to get into this time of year when we have, like, those big months, but
yeah,
pretty, like, obviously one of the biggest months we've had since we've been kind of talking about the NPD / Arcana report. But anything kind of sticking out to you there, Gables?
Honestly, when it comes to a lot of these new games and stuff, I mean, the only major sticking out is, like, well, Mario Kart 8 finally fell off the list, and then Minecraft being at number 19. I mean, yeah, that's a shocker too, because, I mean, that's a strong force as well. It just feels like this year has been more so of long-standing games that have been around on this list for years now are finally slipping out of the top 20.
yeah, we're seeing a lot of those like Switch games that have been out for several years have finally fallen off, and definitely. Any final opinions on piece of shit Sonic fans?
Hey man, I ain't gonna say anything bad about it.
All right, Gables. All right, that's fine. You can tell me off air what your real opinions are on shitty Sonic fans. But until then, we got to move on. Gables, it happened.
What?
It's finally happened. Last of Us Part 2 Remastered, baby. Let's fucking go.
Let's go.
It's happened, Gables. It's coming out January 19th. This was supposed to be a Game Awards announcement. Gables, I feel awful. I said this last time, the last two times this happened now. This is the third straight Naughty Dog game they put out that has been leaked by PlayStation. And not like there was rumors before, but like PlayStation, like, websites or their back end of the PSN store posted this shit early.
I swear to God, they do this on purpose.
Once is an accident, two is kind of a trend, three is just kind of like, what the, like, are you guys being just, now you're just being assholes. I just feel bad for those people over there as far as, like, Like they want to just, you know, do something cool. Like, here's a big announcement for the Game Awards. We know this would be a Game Awards. Like, someone leaked the trailer with the Game Awards watermark on the Game Awards trailer on it. So yeah, so they just end up posting it. It's out, coming out January 19th. Really great thing here is it will have, in fact, a $10 upgrade for people that do already own the game on PS4. So that's awesome. It's kind of continuing that trend, because I think there's a lot of concern from a lot of gamers out there that, you know, that are excited to, you know, play this game that, like, you know, we've seen them. They did Last of Us Part 1, and like, yeah, it's gorgeous. It looks a lot better, but they charged full price, $70 for that, for a remake of a 9-year-old game at that point. It's like, I bought it, you know, but it's like, man, I did not, like, I was a little disappointed in myself for buying it, but I still love the game. I had a great time, but it's like, kind of go fuck yourself, you know, on that one. But I don't know, it's like I also, after owning a Wii U, bought like every fucking Wii U port and the Switch too, like an idiot. So then like half of them I barely played, so
I
don't know.
I have regrets inside of buying the Wii U ports for Switch. I'd love to be playing them.
Gables,
what,
look at me. Did you buy the Sonic Boom port to Switch?
No. Oh, there was no Sonic Boom port to Switch.
All right, good. I didn't. I was testing you there in that one. I don't know. So you, but you know, there wasn't one. So that tells me you probably Googled to see if there was one, and you were going to buy if there was one. That's what tells me, Gables. Yeah. Anyways. Yeah, but I don't know. Like, we've seen this with like the Death, like people were talking about, like, oh well, this might be a director's cut, and but it's like we've seen in the past, like they put them out usually for like $50 or so if you don't already own it, but like. If you do, like Death Stranding, like they added a ton of content with the director's cut. Ghost of Tsushima did the same thing. It's like it was $10 upgrade. Ghost of Tsushima did have like the $30 DLC pack they added,
right?
Like the huge expansion. But like, yeah, I don't mind paying $10, especially when they're adding new things to it, an extra $10. And this one is adding a roguelike mode, no return. So you could play as a lot of like Tommy. You could play as, I forgot. I forgot their name. It's gone now. But like Tommy and some of the other characters that you could play as in the main game, you could play as them. They have different like different abilities, different ways they play. And like every time you play the roguelite mode, it is different. So that's pretty cool. And there's one of the really cool things I'm actually interested in checking out is the Lost Levels. So this is like content. There's three different levels in the game that were like in early development that just didn't make it into the final game, and you can actually like play through those areas. They're not finished, but they're like different. They're like, you can go in and like explore these areas and like see what was supposed to be there. And I love cool shit like that, you know, like when they had like the Braid remaster, the anniversary, the collection or anniversary they're doing is like Jonathan Blow is doing, has like 15 hours of like commentary for the game. Like, I love cool shit like that, and like that's something I'm definitely gonna like want to check into. But I've talked about like, there's been rumors, and like the composer last year like blatantly talked about how he's doing some shit for this game, because he's actually a character in the game as well, a small character, but he's in the game. And I've talked about like, I played that game originally in 2020 as fast as I could because I was so worried about being spoiled about the story and like that, because obviously it was a huge leak and then just people being assholes on the internet, that I kind of rushed through that game quickly because I didn't want that to be ruined for me. So I'm kind of excited to go back. I mean, I'm not excited because that game is rough to play through as far as like just where that story goes and everything. But I am looking forward to like playing that game again and just like knowing what's going to happen, but just like play through that game again and be able to take my time and just like actually really enjoy the game without being like, I'm going to be stressed out, but not stressed out. I'm not going to be stressed. I'm going to be stressed from what I'm doing in the game, right, and not because I'm worried about the game being ruined for me. So I am looking forward to that as a fan. So yeah, I know Gables that the Last of Us Part 2 is not your shit. So,
Well, let's see. What do I have to say about this? I'm not surprised that they went through and announced it, because it was definitely leaked beforehand, even with rumors of there being a remaster for this game. Much like with Last of Us Part 1 that was released on the PS5 and stuff, I don't get why that they went through and did like remasters of this stuff this close from like the last iteration or something, especially with Last of Us Part 2. I mean, great. Yeah. It's like what, 3 years old and it's already getting a remaster.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe the remaster thing, I don't know. I, I guess it's like it's the best thing they can probably. I like the director's cut thing like they did for like Ghost and but we've seen this like what else there was they've had several games like Spider-Man 2 or Spider-Man like 2018 got a remaster. We've seen like five or six PS4 games have gotten these remaster treatments.
Right.
They're really, I don't know, I guess kind of like what Nintendo calls them like deluxe usually. Like essentially, I guess that's just kind of their wording for it. Like, or like, I don't know, Kojima, the Death Stranding was director's cut. So I don't know. Definitely maybe could change the name because it's not just a remaster. They are adding new content. So maybe I like kind of like the idea of the director's cut, but I don't know. I guess it's just like people know what remastered means. So they just call it remaster.
Well, I will say is I'm glad I know what the differences are going to be with, say, The Last of Us Part 2 remaster as opposed to, say, the original, because I was not made aware of the initial features that were presented for this version itself. But it's going to be kind of curious to see what other types of changes they made inside of that game. I mean, granted, yeah, I mean, there are definitely a bunch of things that people find controversial about it. But at the same point, yeah, you're absolutely correct, Tyler.
Probably dumb Sonic fans. Yeah.
But at the same point, Tyler, it's like, you're correct, man. It's like, this is not my shit. And as a matter of fact, I'll still hold it to where this game pretty much killed the franchise for me. So I'm like saying, nah, I'm good. I'm good. You enjoy Gable's what you own, can enjoy.
Gable's own Sonic Boom on Switch. That's right. I said it. He owns it. Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm excited. And I think the reason they're doing this is because, like, Last of Us is bigger now than it was when this game came out because of the TV show. So they could put this on the PSN store.
Oh yeah.
They could put they could put PS5 boxes on the shelves. Just like the reason why the Last of Us Part 1 got the remake last year. It's that way they could put, hey, like this big TV show is out now. More people are aware of it. We saw that when it's worked out for them because when the TV show came out, sales spiked. Just like the Mario movie. Sales spiked of the Mario games.
It makes sense.
It makes sense to do this business wise. And hey, there's a want for it. So,
and plus when season 2 comes out for the TV show, I would think that this is probably going to be released close to around the same time.
Well, this is coming out in January. So, okay. And Last of Us doesn't start filming until January. So, okay. That'll probably be out the end of next year. So,
okay.
But it's kind of like we talk about this. It's this thing I've been talking about for years now about like. They get like they kind of like triple dip a little bit here where it's like Witcher had the initial launch, then I guess not triple dip here, but like Witcher 3 came out, launched, sold super duper well, TV show came out, fucking was bigger than it was. We've seen Cyberpunk do the same thing. Like now we're seeing this with video games, like, you know, like we said, we just talked about like Mario got that huge bump in March and April when the movie came out. And yeah, Sonic got a huge bump when the movies came out. So
yes,
just kind of smart business to, hey, have these things on the shelf, you know, when these big movies come out that more people are going to check out than, you know, before. So next up here, we're going to other news this week here. Not a whole lot. Remedy did announce they're making a free-to-play game, and it's an early production, so it's like pre-production. And they were like nearing going into production, and they talked about because of like they kind of see the changing of the guard and like free to play and live service that they're actually like basically like going back into pre-production. Okay. And turning this into like a full-fledged, like it's no longer gonna be free to play. It's not gonna be a live service game. They're turning it just into like an actual, it'll probably be a multiplayer game, but it's not gonna be live service. It's not gonna be free to play. They're turning this into like a multiplayer game instead now. So it's gonna be a regular probably $60-$70 game. So that's happening. But hey, like that's the case where like, you know, we talk about, we see all these like live service games coming out now and it's like, oof, but those games were in development for years now. And it's like, now we're there's probably gonna be a lot of games that are in development right now that are like our early development now that are like, we're going to be live service that they got lucky and like, ooh, let's change this while we still can.
Absolutely. So,
yeah. Yeah, the Wonder Woman game made by the Shadow of Mordor team. We talked about last week about how like WB wanted to double down with their video games as a live service, and then there was like a job posting for the Wonder Woman game that made it sound like it's gonna be a live service game. They did come out and say that Wonder Woman is a single player game. So,
okay.
I won't be shocked because based off WB games, they will probably WB will force in a ton of microtransactions like they did with
Yes.
The Shadow Mordor game, and like they do with like
Mortal Kombat.
all the pretty much any Mortal Kombat game since like 10 and like the Injustice games. But yeah, like at least it won't be live service. I guess that's something. Baldur's Gate 3 will be coming to Xbox in December. They will give them a date at the Game Awards, and they did reveal there will be a physical version of the game coming out in January. So if you're someone that's been waiting, so if you're someone that's been waiting for a physical version, that will be out there for you. Dragon's Dogma 2 is coming out March 22nd, it sounds like. That was like, it was like posted on Best Buy. No, obviously, you know, doesn't mean anything, but the Capcom did say they have a big game coming out in the first quarter of the next year. A lot of people thought it'd be Monster Hunter World, myself included, but maybe it's Dragon Dogma 2 instead. And then Jeff Grubb did mention on Game Mess podcast that the KOTOR, Star Wars KOTOR remake, is no longer in development. Obviously, everything going on we've talked about a lot, where Aspyr was originally making it, and then they were just very unhappy between PlayStation and Embracer, and then Saber was like co-publishing it or co-developing it, and then they ended up taking it over. But the game is just, sounds like it's just pretty much as close to being canceled without being canceled as it is right now. So, but yeah, that is pretty much it for the news this week, Gables. Let's jump into what we've been playing. Do you want to go first, buddy? Or you want me to go first?
Well, considering I haven't really played too much this week, let's go ahead and have you go through.
Okay. I'm kind of safe. I haven't got to play too much. I played for a few hours of games, this week. I did play some more RoboCop Rogue City. A game continues to be fun, Gables. It's just a great game. It's funny. It's really funny. They know that the 80 cheese is there. They have nailed it for what, you know, like the 80s, 90s charm that we love.
Yes.
That someone like me growing up watching like action movies and like the cheesy Sylvester Stallone and Jean-Claude Van Damme and Arnold Schwarzenegger movies and stuff like that. Like I love those movies growing up. And this is kind of like, kind of feels that little hole that, you know, I think that we've all been missing for like stuff like that. And it's a video game form. It's awesome. They've nailed the aesthetic. They nailed, they even got like some of the voice actors back from the movie back for the game. I had a great time with it. I'm like probably 6 or 7 hours in. I am a little concerned though, Gables, cause, I was kind of looking, I'm like, man, how far into this game am I? How close am I to the end? And I was kind of looking up, I'm like, I like a third of the way through this game. I'm like I'm having a lot of fun. This game is great, but I'm like, I don't know if I want a 20 hour game of this, you know. This is like, it's like a great game, but it's like, I don't know, like this would be a great like 10 hour game maybe. Obviously I could just speed through the main game if I wanted to, but like I actually enjoyed walking in the world, but like I could, like there's not enough gameplay that I don't know if the gameplay is great enough to like carry me through the game. It's right. Everything, like the gameplay is good, it's really good, it's solid, but like everything else is carrying me through this game. I'm not like feeling that like I'm ready to move on yet, but I am like, I'm just worried. I'm like, oh man, like how am I gonna be feeling, like if they're not gonna make any drastic updates or changes to like the game mechanic as I go, like I could feel myself like losing steam on this game if I continue on. But like it's a phenomenal game, it really is. So like I would maybe wait for, like it's $60, but like I you know, pick it up, play it. It's gonna be, have a great time probably with it if like this is something that you want to have like a great 7.5 out of 10 game, or if like I bet this game is gonna be like $30 on Black Friday or during the holidays. So
discount, definitely, it sounds like.
Yeah, and like this is not a game you gotta play right now. Like this is like if you have 20 other like major games that have come out this year, but this is like a great game, like in between game or like whatever. But yeah, I'm having a great time with it. The other game I've been playing is Mario RPG. I've only played like about 2 hours of it. I just got to like, I guess, I don't know, like the second temple or like the, where you go to get the second star.
Star. Okay.
Yeah. So I just got there.
Who's in your party right now?
I just got Mario and Mallow is all I have right now.
Okay.
So I haven't even got to the third guy yet. So, I think the writing is really good. I like the characters. So like Mallow is really cool. I like Mallow a lot.
Yeah.
I like some of the characters you get introduced to. I like some of the shit that's happening
yes.
throughout the world, Gables. I'm not having a great time with the combat.
Well, that doesn't really surprise me too much, though. I mean, you do have kind of some bits of difficulties with the rhythm-based stuff. So like,
yeah. Well, I pretty much figured that out. So the nice thing is they do have like an exclamation point comes up when you're supposed to hit the button,
yeah.
and it'll do that until like you regularly start hitting it. So it's just kind of cool. So like, but once he's like, it goes away, which I've gotten the rhythm now. Like I get when you reduce, when you do stuff repeatedly, I can get it.
Yes.
For the most part, there's a couple like special moves that I don't do often enough that I fuck up a lot. But I just, it's just kind of simplistic, honestly, right now.
That's the
maybe
point.
You'll get, yeah, maybe, yeah, it's like, you know, Pokemon is like baby's first RPG, but there's like, you know, for us, like there's shit we can do in there, like make it different. But like, if you just go in and just play through the game and move on, like it could not be, it could be very easily, it could be a very easy game. And this is kind of that for me really so far, but like what the best parts of this game is the writing, is the characters.
Well, yeah.
So I'm having a good time with that, but I'm like, and like, I don't know. It's like my, like every instinct in me is screaming to grind, and like you get so few XP points from grinding. And it's like, oh, I don't want to fucking grind. So it's like, I don't know. Like,
actually,
you wear it down.
Let me just stop you right there and just saying like that. I would not, and just to give you a little bit of a heads up and stuff like that, don't worry too much about grinding.
Okay.
Go ahead and get your established party members and stuff like that. You're not going to really need to want to grind a lot right at this moment in time. I think you're probably set with what you got going currently. Let's see, and you haven't even got the third party member yet.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting though, this is your first time going through this game.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna spoil anything major in that regards, but
I know you get like Bowser and stuff, so.
Well, yeah, I understand that, but the way you get like certain characters and this and that. But
yeah.
I will say don't focus on grinding, just focus on just going through the initial story and stuff. Because I will say there really isn't a lot of select side missions inside of this game, but this is the game's intention when it was from the get-go. This is like a bridge from like, this is like back in the day when Super Mario RPG was released, it was intentionally made to bridge people in from like the standards of like, say, an RPG up into like intermediate like stuff. Like, say, for example, start off playing Super Mario RPG, then you'll go maybe delve into like a Final Fantasy or something like that, or maybe even like a Pokemon game, because that one's kind of similar in terms of style to where Pokemon was like sort of a bridge RPG game to get into the genre itself. So it intentionally is sort of like simplistic like that, but at the same time, there will be things that will elaborate things to make it a bit more interesting.
Okay. Yeah, like I'm not giving up on the game. Like
I think
the writing and the writing and the character work and everything like that is like really well done. I'm enjoying it. But Gabler, are you calling Mario RPG a gateway drug?
I'm calling it a gateway game into RPGs, yes.
So Mario RPG is marijuana of the RPG world. Is that what we're saying here? And Final Fantasy is like meth. We can call it Pokemon.
That
like,
type of analogy. I mean,
Pokemon's like cocaine.
Well, think of it this way: if you think like, say, Mario Brothers games being like bridge into like other types of games and stuff, then definitely Super Mario RPG is a bridge sort of game into like even more. You know, sort of kind of like what you would say. I wouldn't call it like the marijuana of freaking video games. I'd call it more like a, oh God, what's a good analogy with this?
It's Oxy.
Nah,
so Baldur's Gate 3 is definitely like the heroine of RPGs, right?
Well, the heroine of RPGs. No, man, it's like when you kind of, it's like when you're like a football player and stuff, and like you go
high school,
like, high school,
college,
and then
yeah,
like this is
Pop
like
Warner,
sort of like
that, yeah.
Yeah, this is sort of like the high school equivalent to where at least the college leagues and stuff, and all of a sudden it gets to like the professional, the big leagues and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the biggest thing I can really do a comparison.
So are you saying Mario RPG is the Sonic of RPG games, Gable? Is that what you're saying right now?
God, no. The Sonic of RPGs.
That's mean.
Where the fuck you got that from?
I don't know. Like Sonic is like, it's like, I don't know. It's like a bad platformer. So then,
oh,
like then you find good ones like Mario and Celeste.
Now you just convince a whole bunch of people to buy a part of Super Mario RPG now because you just called the Sonic of Super Mario RPG.
You know what, Gables? Sometimes you got to fall on the sword a little bit here. If I have to fall on the sword for people to buy Mario RPG, I guess that's what I'll do. But you know what? Maybe that will tell people will finally learn. This is the gateway for people to stop playing shitty Sonic games and start playing good Mario games. That's what it is. So Sonic is the marijuana of video games, where it's like, here's a shitty game, and then we'll get you, but we're going to get addicted to video games, even though it's a shitty one. And then eventually you'll find good ones, like God of War. Where did this podcast go?
I don't know. I think you just got some sort of PTSD thing with Sonic the Hedgehog.
I don't know if I'd call it PTSD. It's like just an overall hatred of not so much the games, just the people that make the games.
I wouldn't be surprised if you had nightmares of Sonic the Hedgehog just screaming in your face or something like that. Whoa, yo, hey, chili dogs, whoa.
Yeah, it's not so much that. It's just like eventually I'm going to be cursed and just smell chili dogs 24/7.
You just wake up the smell of chili dogs and all of a sudden, gotta go fast. I gotta go fast.
Yeah. Yeah, fucking asshole. Fuck that guy. One good thing about it, ruined, killed Jaleel White's career. Fucking Urkel. Can't find work anymore. Played Sonic for a couple of years. Bam. Gone. No one's seen that guy ever since. So, I don't know. Call me crazy, but, you know, Sonic, black hole for your career. So, anyways, let's get the fuck out of here before I piss off any more people. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you like this, please don't give us a thumbs down. Don't give us 1-star reviews. 5-star reviews, thumbs up, Sonic fans. If you're a Sonic fan and you're here for this, just go away. Just go away.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah. Anyways, thank you guys so much for listening. If you like all this, please follow us. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, or podcast apps. We're on all those places. Like, follow, subscribe. 5-star reviews, thumbs up, shares, tell your friends about Sonic and being bad. Don't let friends play Sonic. That's my.
Oh, I'm just laughing at the absurdity of all friends. Don't let friends play Sonic the Hedgehog.
I was gonna like see like Gables with like a marijuana, like with a bowl. He's like getting ready to smoke a bowl, but it's just like a cartridge of like Sonic the Hedgehog, Sonic and Knuckles. And I'm like, no, and I just smack it out of his hand. That's going to be me. This podcast is dumb. I was your host, I was Tyler.
And I have been Colonel Gables. Until next time, everyone, play Sonic the Hedgehog.
Go fuck yourself, Gables. Bye, guys.
See ya.
Don't play Sonic.